Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Before I dive into the Ten Commandments, though, and actually begin to ask that question, how relevant are they to us today? A little bit about commandments or the law or the Old Testament, because I don't know if you've ever heard this, but certainly as a young Christian, I was taught by some positive but ill-informed people that actually the law is not relevant for us today because we have Jesus. Let me be clear, that is not an accurate representation of God's will for us, actually. There are many things in the law that are relevant to us today. Jesus himself, of course, said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus was the fulfillment of all that God wanted in the law. So I don't think we get to just chuck it out just because we have the New Testament now. But it does mean we have to ask that question. Okay, so what laws are relevant for us today? What is relevant for us in 2024? And we've been asking that question a lot in this series, haven't we? But I think it's been a useful question to ask. So let me talk to you about the different styles of law. There were the religious laws, the laws that said we worship Yahweh, the one true God. So therefore we would want to do these things. There were the societal laws that we have, you know, laws that say because you lived at this time as a Jewish person in this community, we want you to behave in this way. Those are the different types of law we see. So if fire breaks out and spreads into thorn bushes and it burns your neighbour's crop, then you are responsible for that because you lit the fire, you didn't take care of it, it burnt your neighbour's crop. That's a societal law there. You should give them recompense for their crop. Not unlike what we would expect to do today, really. That's a societal law. Then we've got religious laws. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. There were many festivals in the Old Testament that the Jewish people did and still do celebrate. Some of them we've picked up. One of them is our greatest of festivals, Passover, Last Supper, literally what we are doing here today. So that would be a religious law. Because you trust and follow Yahweh, the great I Am, then you would want to do this. So you've got religious and societal laws. And again, they are divided as well into two different sections. Causistic laws. You don't have to remember any of this, by the way. Causistic laws, which are, if this happens, then this should happen. So one causes the next one. Causistic laws. And apodictic laws, and I can't tell you how long I took to practice these things. Apodictic laws, which are, well, they're more commands. So as I used to say to my children, this is not a suggestion. No, so I used to also tell them that they didn't live in a democracy, they lived in a benevolent dictatorship. But apodictic laws are, what the old King James would say, thou shalt, or thou shalt not. Those are the apodictic laws. So, this is a causistic law. If anyone uncovers a pit or digs and fails to cover it up and someone's animal falls down into it and dies, then you should pay for that animal because you've caused that animal to die. That's a causistic law. So haven't borough council going to have a bit of an issue with the potholes, aren't they? and an apodictic law, do not blaspheme God or curse the ruler of your people. So we might not have too many donkeys falling down potholes in our lives, but actually this is a law for all time, isn't it? Do not blaspheme God, an apodictic law. I'm sure you're feeling none the wiser now, are you? But we're going to crack on anyway into what the Jewish people called the Decalogue, or the Ten Words, and we call the Ten Commandments, don't we? There they are. No other gods before me. Don't make yourself an image and worship it. Don't misuse the name of the Lord. Remember the Sabbath. It's an interest. We're going to come back to remember the Sabbath next year. If you've been reading any of my John Mark Comer and practice in the way. He's very big on the Sabbath. Honour your father and mother. Now, Mel was very clever. I would have worked that one into Father's Day. Behave yourself. I would have worked that one into Father's Day. You shall not murder, commit adultery, steal, or give false testimony. Was it the Wicked Bible that said, thou shalt commit adultery? Have you heard about that?
No.
It's not in my notes, but you know, I'll go a bit rabbit one here. There was a run, I think, I can't remember, what was it, the King James, or the run of the King James, where they misprinted some of the Ten Commandments.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not sure if it happened by mistake or whether there was a disgruntled person amongst it. Anyway, it said, thou shalt commit adultery. So let me be clear, thou shalt not commit adultery. Apparently those Bibles are worth a lot of money now, if you can find one.
Yeah.
You should not give false testimony or covet your neighbour's property. So there you go. One of the things you might notice about this lot is actually they're all apodictic. They're all, you shall and shall not, you Ten Commandments. And then we've got the bottom, from 5 to 10, they're sort of societal laws, aren't they? They're sort of, if we live together as a family of followers of Jesus, or Yahweh, those are the laws. But I think actually the answer to our question, are these relevant to us today, comes in the first four laws, the laws about God. Religious laws, if you will. So I'm just going to, you could say the fourth law is a law about God. So I'm going to dive into the first three and see if we can find our answer about how relevant these are for us today. You shall have no other gods before me. No other gods before Yahweh. This gives us a clue here, actually, that in their context, they did believe there were other gods. We tend to forget that. Later on, Israel says, no, there is just one God. But at this time, they recognised other gods. And we might think of them as being, other enemies of God, the devil. But actually, they acknowledged that there were other gods, that other societies around them worshipped. And God is saying, no, no more. No other gods before me. I don't think we're going to find our answer here, because it does look a little bit needy at this point, doesn't it? I'm not saying that God is needy, but you could take this out of context and say it looks a little bit needy. So let's see what number 2 says. It says, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God. He's building upon number 1, and some Bibles actually sort of merge these two in together, but he's building on law number 1, saying, no, really, this is serious. I am the God you worship. It's about drawing God's people into himself. But I still don't think this necessarily gives us the answer about how relevant these are for us today, but we do begin to see a little bit of what's going on here. Because he says he's a jealous God, doesn't he? I am a jealous God. And I always used to struggle with that. It's like, yeah. Why is God jealous? Yeah. Tim Mackey has a great analogy about this. He says it's like having one of your children, a son or a daughter. And you turn to them and you say, stay away from drugs. I mean, it's good advice, but stay away from drugs because I want to see what you're going to become. I know that God has a plan for you. Stay away from drugs because I can see in you the image of God growing up. And actually, I'm worried, I'm jealous that if you go to drugs, what God has for you will be dragged away from you. You won't come to fruition in what I can see your potential in God is. And so although I don't think the answer is there, I think we're beginning to see God's love for us in this. Because actually, I think the answer's in commandment number 3, which may surprise you. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember, when we see Lord in capitals, that's Yahweh, the great I am, the one, the true. And he's saying, or as the King James used to put it, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Why would swearing... Anyone else here taught this is about swearing? I was taught this is about, you know, you shouldn't say, oh, Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I get, when I hit, the only time I've ever had any really serious issue with my faith at work was when someone insisted on saying Jesus Christ is a swear word all the time.
Yeah,
and we get tied up with that, don't we?
Yeah.
It's not what it's about. I mean, taking the, you know, God's name in vain in that way is not a great thing, but that's not what this is about. And we've been taught, I think many of us have been taught that it is. The NIV says, you should not misuse the name of the Lord. Misuse is the key word we're looking for here. You should not misuse the name of the Lord. The King James says, you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Take, misuse. Those are the words we're looking for. Because those words are translated from a Hebrew word called norsal. Have I got that on there? Yeah, there you go. Norsal, which looks like NASA, but actually... is pronounced norsal. And it means to take up, to carry, to bear, to become an image of, to carry it with you. Jesus simplified matters for us later on. He says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Commandment number 3 is about us becoming image bearers of God. Now, I wrote this sermon before I went away. And it wasn't until I got back this morning and reread the sermon before I came here, I thought, oh, I forgot I put that in there. And all week, God has been talking to me about us being image bearers of God. How amazing is that?
Yeah.
As I've been studying the atonement, I've been discovering, once again, the atonement is about us becoming image bearers of God because of what Jesus did on the cross, and here it is, preparing us as we go forward. You are a light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. You see, these commandments, they're vows in a relationship. In a few weeks' time, we're going to have lots of people renew their vows at St. Thomas of marriage. We've got loads of people coming. It's been a delight to see how many want to do it. These vows are as important as those vows. These vows are more important in reality than those vows. These are the vows we have. The God who creates us and loves us. The Father who would die for us. And yet, people have got it wrong all down the line. I love it when the Pharisees get it wrong. Remember this line in Matthew? When the teacher comes up to Jesus, he says, what is the greatest commandment in the law? What is of all the 613 laws? I got that right, haven't I? I was looking at Ali. She was looking at me like, hold on, Max. No, there are 613 laws, I believe, in the Old Testament. Of all the 613 laws, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the laws hang on these. The Pharisees come to him, Jesus, the one whose image we're most supposed to bear, and say, what's the least we can get away with? What's the minimum we can get away with? And Jesus' reply is actually everything. Love God, love people. Why would you want to get away with the minimum when you are an image bearer of Yahweh, the great I Am? God loves us when we take on his image. And when we go out there, we are the light on a hill. We are the image of God. When I interact with Susie and I'm grumpy, I am an image of God. That's not great, is it, if I'm grumpy? But actually, if I love her beyond all measure as God loves her, us, I am an image of God. When my brother winds me up. I've got three brothers, they all wind me up, trust me. If they just see me as Grumpy Max, or truthfully Grumpy Wayne, they just see me as Grumpy, and they know that I claim to follow Jesus, that's not an image of God. But if I can invite them back one more time for a pint, and we can have fun together, and they can see the difference that Christ is making in my life, they see an image of God in me. Why would you want to get away with the least? God loves us, so we take on his image. I think that's why the laws are relevant for us today. There are some laws that aren't relevant, of course they're not, but the actual biggest law is relevant. That we would represent God. So I wonder why you come here each week. Do you come here knowing that actually you are an image bearer of Jesus? That you were first forgiven, that you were first receiving grace, that you might then go out and serve the Lord? Or do you come here to serve the Lord in the hope that you might get a few brownie points and he'll accept you? Well, that's the wrong way around, isn't it? Interestingly, in Exodus, they were freed from Egypt. They received the grace of God before the laws came on. The laws came after being freed. The laws came after the grace. The laws were a reflection of the grace that they received. My friends, let me encourage you that you are loved beyond all measure. That grace is yours and you reflect Jesus.
Amen. You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.